We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Guys, Ralph Marlboro here. You know I take my flavored whiskey very seriously and would never steer you wrong. I want to tell you about Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey. Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey is a strawberry-flavored whiskey blended with aged wheat whiskey, American light whiskey, fresh strawberries from Ponchatoula, Louisiana. It's 86 proof, blended and bottled in New Orleans, Louisiana at the Porch Jam Distillery. Hardhide Strawberry Whiskey is not for the thin-skinned. Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey is supporting Saints Happy Hour all football season. So support the people who support the show. Grab a bottle of Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey today. You can pick up a bottle wherever fine spirits are sold in Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee. To learn more and to find a location to get a bottle near you, go to HardhideStrawberryWhiskey.com. That's HardhideStrawberryWhiskey.com.
Welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are brought to you by Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey. It took me a minute, Kevin, because I have drank so much of it today. Saints are a disaster. The New Orleans 2023 New Orleans. They're bad. And let me tell you something. They're 2-2. They're a game out of first. They are an abject disaster. And here's the thing, Kevin. I've been just going to say this. I was wrong. I thought that the first 2 weeks and even last week, I really thought, you know, it's the offensive line. They can get that fixed. It'll be okay. They have Olave. They'll have Kamara back. They have Michael Thomas. They have playmakers. It'll be fine. It'll be better. And, like, it's completely fucking broken. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell this to Juge on the main show. Tuesday, and I'm going to tell this other people, like, I'm tired of, well, they played a really good front and they're playing really good defenses. I don't want to hear it, Kevin, because here's the thing. It's always, they played a good front. They're missing both guards. They're missing this. They're missing that. Like, this offense to me, Kevin, the reason why I'm so distraught is I don't even know what they want to do, like what they want to be. It really feels to me like Pete Carmichael, they have no strategy, really, like philosophy of like, this is who we are. This is what we do. It's just shot plays and vibes. And like, maybe they get they had the one drive where they got Kamara running inside, the tackle's good, and they end up kicking a field goal. But this offense, like, to me, Kevin, it's broken at its core. And I have zero confidence Dennis Allen knows how to fix it. Zero. And, like, I think it would take drastic changes to get it even to average. And Dennis Allen, like most NFL coaches, is not going to make drastic changes. And even for Sean Payton, as many defensive coordinators as he had, he only fired one of them during the year. And that was – it took Rob Ryan a year and a half of historically bad defense to get fired, right? So I just can't be more down – on them right now, because they got speed bagged by Tampa. Like, Tampa roughed them up, and Tampa ran this game from start to finish. Depressing.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much said it all there, Ralph. goodbye, everybody. Yeah, like, they lost their top offensive player in Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin steps up. catches 8 for over 100 yards. It's like nobody could stop him. You know, the broken play inside the red zone, Mayfield stays poised and gets the touchdown pass to put him up in the second quarter. Baker Mayfield played exceedingly well.
He made one bad throw where it really wasn't so much a bad decision as he just made, it was a bad physical throw. Like, he needed to get it up and over so either his guy catches it or nobody does, right?
Now, I would say, look, the defense
was all right.
I think the defense played well through the first three quarters. And they just, like, I want to look at the time of possession here. That time of possession wasn't that bad. Like, the Saints had the ball for nearly 29 minutes.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that might have been the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I just feel like...
The defense played well the first three quarters. Then the fourth quarter, they just folded up. Like, the offense had little life, little, there was very little fire. It couldn't get anything going. Like, after that first drive, the offense just felt anemic.
And here's the thing. This is pathetic. They threw the ball 39 times, 120. They had 127 yards passing, 24 completions. Yards per pass, the Saints were at 3. That's so bad. That might be historically bad. I mean, they had somebody on Twitter that said, what's the most passes completed in NFL history where you don't get 100 yards passing? But here's the thing that I think that this game to me, Kevin, it really, really is damning for DA and the Saints' offseason decision that they made to keep Pete Carmichael. Because the Saints, they looked around, and it really looked for like about a couple days. You know, Andrew has his sources, and I have a couple, and they were like, "Listen, they're gonna move on from Pete." The Saints were looking; it was moving that way. The momentum was that way, and then they didn't, and they kept, and everybody in the Saints building was like, "We really like Pete," and also, listen, like, we don't think we could find anybody better, and this job just isn't appealing because, you know, my Saints source said to me that he's pretty good. He said, listen, we don't have a quarterback. We aren't going to have Michael Thomas probably, although he came back, and we have issues. And we're 7-10. We aren't an appealing destination. And listen, that is a legitimate, decent argument, but I'm going to make the counter argument. Todd Bowles, who Tom Brady retired, and Tampa's offense was a dumpster fire at the end of last year. Even though they made the playoffs, they looked terrible in the playoffs. They were a dumpster fire. He cleaned house on that offensive staff and found a guy in the Seattle Seahawks quarterback coach to be his offensive coordinator. And you know what, Kevin? Tampa's offense, I'm not saying it was great today by any means. No. But they had a coherent plan. They said, we're going to roll Baker out. We're going to try to run the ball a little. We're going to roll him out. We're going to hit short, medium passes. We're not going to screw up. And they basically executed it perfect. And he found an offensive coordinator. And the Saints are like, we can't find anybody. Nobody wants the job. We got to keep Pete, who didn't even want the job to start with.
Right. And You're telling me that this organization couldn't have gone to Eric Bieniemy and said, listen, I know this looks like a lateral move, and for quote unquote all intents and purposes it is. We'll pay you whatever you want, and in the event that things don't work out and we have to fire Derek Carr, we will name you the head coach. Now, we can't put that in writing.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even if you didn't want to take him, maybe you think he wouldn't have taken it, or maybe you think that the baggage with him was a little bit too much to bear. What's stopping you from looking at any other organization and saying, you know, the quarterback's coach, the wide receiver's That's coach, right. the O-line coach for somebody.
Well,
or like an offensive what do you call it? Consultant, something like yeah. that, and saying, all right, we're going to roll. Well, let's bring this guy in.
Here's the problem with the Saints. And I said it last year, I thought with Derek Carr and Michael Thomas back, like it would be better because the offense last year, you felt like, man, you know, contested catch guy to make a couple plays, you know, it'd get him over the hill. And I thought they'd be better. But my biggest criticism and worry last year was what you're doing is Sean Payton and Drew Brees karaoke. Is Pete Carmichael, he knows the words, he knows the tune, but he can't sing it. And I just feel like the Saints, they need a complete renovation on offense. Root and branch, the Sean Payton offense, it needs to go, and you need to do something else. And
yeah.
I just don't know. You're week four, like it isn't gonna change. It isn't gonna. And the thing is, like, it looks very. It looks like to me, Kevin. Like, there's no. It reminds me of, and your old head people will tell. Well, you'll get this. It reminds me of Ditka with better personnel, in a sense of when the Saints played with Ditka on offense, there was never any fucking coherent strategy. They would just win games because one of the Billy Joes would hit a bomb, Mario Bates would rip a long run. It was no offensive philosophy. It was just, we won 24-20 because we hit three giant plays and fell ass backwards into some turnovers, and wasn't this fun? We're 5-8. Like, but that's not really, it's not good offense, right? That's what the Saints feel like. It just feels like it's like Battleship, you know? You just get like A7, miss. B72, miss. And it's like, D4, hit. Let's do it again. And it's like no philosophy. And I am drunk and I am sad. And I can't believe I got 13 more weeks of this. Thomas, you better get on some jokes. I need memes. I need sound bites. I need it all because we got a long season. We're going to power through. You got anything for me, Kevin?
Hello, I thought you were about to wrap up the short version of the show.
Me too.
I'm too drunk to keep on schedule. I am. This was the free version. If you listen to this and you liked it, and you listen to the free version on wherever you get your podcast, free versions, you know, Saints Happy Hour, whatever player you use, sign up for Saints Happy Hour. I promise you, now more than ever, you will need the jokes. And we have the jokes, the memes, the sound drops,
and the hotline.
And the hotline. Oh, the hotline is going to be a journey. So join us. Go to saintshappyhour.com. Become a patron. Thanks for listening to the free version. We appreciate everybody.
Guys, Ralph Marlboro here. You know I take my flavored whiskey very seriously and would never steer you wrong. I want to tell you about Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey. Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey is a strawberry-flavored whiskey blended with aged wheat whiskey, American light whiskey, fresh strawberries from Ponchatoula, Louisiana. It's 86 proof, blended and bottled in New Orleans, Louisiana at the Porch Jam Distillery. Hardhide Strawberry Whiskey is not for the thin-skinned. Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey is supporting Saints Happy Hour all football season. So support the people who support the show. Grab a bottle of Hardhide Ponchatoula Strawberry Whiskey today. You can pick up a bottle wherever fine spirits are sold in Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee. To learn more and to find a location to get a bottle near you, go to HardhideStrawberryWhiskey.com. That's HardhideStrawberryWhiskey.com.